This Health Ranger Report Pandemic Podcast is brought to you by naturalnews.com for uncensored reporting and healthrangerstore.com for lab-tested preparedness supplies such as storable food, full-face medical masks, biostructured silver first aid gel, and iodine, only while supplies last.
One of the interesting silver linings of this pandemic is that suddenly people value food for the first time in a generation. This is Mike Adams here, pandemic.news update for Thursday. I think it's March 19th. Can hardly keep track of the days anymore. Yeah, it's the 19th. So since there are now limits on food items at grocery stores and everywhere across the economy, you can only buy two of this or four of that or 2 pounds of this. Suddenly, people are starting to assign value to food that they used to waste like crazy. And it's always struck me, you know, I live on a ranch and I raise chickens for their eggs, and I've milked goats for goat milk. And when you put effort into food, you learn to value food. And in the past, when I would go out to eat with my wife, for example, we don't waste anything. If we don't eat something, we take it home and feed it to the chickens. You know, bread crusts or even the tails of shrimp. Save the tails, you give them to the chickens. Or you mix it in with dog food, actually, because it's got astaxanthin in it. And dogs love shrimp tails mixed in with their food. I mean, I know it almost sounds hillbilly to some people to save food, or at least it did until recently. But now, when every calorie counts, this whole new mindset of, wow, this food's actually valuable and I may not be able to get any more. And suddenly I need to make every piece of food count and not waste it and not throw it away. This is a mindset that we have not seen in our world, at least in North America, for a long time. Maybe going back to the Great Depression, frankly. And I remember my grandparents, they would tell me stories about the Great Depression. I asked them about it when I was much younger. They would tell me stories that I was just shocked. I was aghast at some of the stories of how they would save food or how they would reuse food, or if someone didn't eat the bacon fat off of a piece of bacon, they would take the bacon fat and they would throw it back into the bean soup because you can't waste bacon fat. You know, that was the mindset of 1929 and the early 30s, the mindset in which my grandparents grew up. And I remember as a child thinking, that's crazy. If we don't like bacon fat, we just put it in the trash, right? That was my mentality then. And that's the mentality of most people today. They just trash food like crazy. By some estimates, as much as 25 or 30% of the food that's grown in the world is just wasted and trashed because people just don't eat it or grocery stores waste it. And in fact, they throw away a lot of really good food. And there are people who, even before this pandemic, went around and dumpster dive for food, and they could eat pretty well in certain cities. And now the dumpster diving is going to go into a full-time endeavor. It may be a national sport. Instead of the Olympics, we'll have men's dumpster diving competitions. Or maybe since it's now everything's transgender, it'll be transgender dumpster diving. Instead of women's sports or men's sports, we'll just have transgender, whatever it is. Dumpster diving for food. This is going to become a very common occurrence in America, in certain cities, because the food supplies are cratering. And this is something that not a lot of people understand. We've been told that the grocery stores are going to be restocked. But if you actually talk to the people who run the grocery stores, and I have talked to some, they say, well, our supplier says they're out. And I would imagine, although I haven't had these conversations myself, I would imagine if you go to the suppliers and you say, where's your food coming from? They would say, everything's out all the way up the line. Everything's out until the harvest comes in. It's all gone. So for a little while, grocery stores were restocking based on the buffer inventory in the food distribution centers. And then for a little while, those food distribution centers were restocking from the food manufacturing buffers. You know, the cereal companies and the soup companies like Campbell's Soup, for example, they had excess inventory sitting around, you know, in the pipeline, so to speak. But all that has been wiped out now. Now, there's no buffer in the pipeline. And so whatever gets manufactured gets immediately purchased the moment it hits retail, which is why the grocery stores can hardly keep the shelves stocked. And that's why you're seeing things out of stock everywhere. Now, you might say, on one hand, this is a temporary demand situation. So once people get fully stocked, then they're going to stop buying all this food. And in fact, you might say, then the longer term result of all of this is that grocery store sales will plummet, because after this pandemic passes, whenever that is, people will buy less because they're going to be eating through their stored food. And so grocery stores could really take a financial hit at that time. So all the food they're selling now is really just pre-sales of food they would have sold months ago, is the way that thinking goes. So that's kind of the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is that the food supply lines have structural problems and have in some cases collapsed to the point where food production will not return to the levels it once experienced, you know, from last year, for example, that we won't even produce as much food this year, because the companies that produce the food, the farming operations, the orchards, the nut processors, and so on and so forth, they're shut down. And they can't get employees because everybody's locked down. And see, I think that's the more accurate view. When you have lockdowns, especially if they continue to expand to more of a nationwide scale, how do you run the farms? How do you process the ground beef from the cattle when the ground beef meat processing companies are shut down because all their workers are at home? You can send a lot of workers home in a lot of industries, maybe finance, maybe education. You can teach people through online classes, but you can't make ground beef over the internet, turns out. That should be a bumper sticker or something, right? You can't make ground beef over the internet. So that means the food supply, which is physical, which is real, can't be replaced by digital technology or telecom. And this is the scenario that I think we're starting to get into, where it's going to be questionable whether there will even be sufficient food to feed the nation very soon. Maybe within a few weeks, maybe a month. I'm not sure exactly when, but this is one of my concerns. And they say that every nation is 9 meals away from anarchy. Have you heard that before? 9 meals away from anarchy? The idea is that if the public runs out of food for 3 days and nights, you know, 72 hours, that things start to break down. It's not hard to see that happening. If people don't have food and they don't have meals and they're not getting food from, I guess, FEMA or the National Guard or something, it's not hard to see how quickly things really start to break down. And are we going to see that situation in America? I fear we very well may. I fear we're on that track right now, and that the availability of food is going to start to really, really suffer in a huge way. So some tips of what you can do in the meantime. You can augment the food supply that you have. I mean, of course, try to get more food, but everything's strictly limited now and it's getting locked down, and you're going to have a very small amount of allotted food that you can buy. Things that you can do to augment that include, well, backyard chickens, although you have to buy grain or you have to have land for that, so that's not really applicable to everybody. Although I'm very thankful right now that I have fresh eggs every day. You would not believe the value that that has in this economy right now. Fresh farm eggs, are you effing kidding me? That I can walk outside to the chicken house and pick up fresh eggs every day? Yep, because I've been raising chickens for years. I've been doing this for years. So I know how it's done. It's routine for myself and my wife. We have fresh farm eggs every day. You talk about a barter item. Oh my goodness. But you could sprout things in your kitchen if you have seeds, just sprouting seeds. You can grow sprouts. If you've got buckets and dirt and sunlight and water, you can grow potatoes in buckets. There are very good online videos about how to grow potatoes in buckets. Potatoes give you the most return for your input in terms of calories. So potatoes are really great to grow in buckets. And you can also grow medicine in buckets. It's just called container gardening. You can grow basil and cilantro and, you know, rosemary and all these different herbs and all these natural medicines, spices and things. you can grow them in containers very inexpensively, and you can even start harvesting in about 30 days on some of these things. I mean, we sell the mini farm grow boxes, although I think we're out of stock at the moment for obvious reasons, but that allows people to grow lettuce and herbs and all kinds of things. You can grow peppers out of those boxes. You can grow tomatoes out of those boxes. So this is a time, especially if you're stuck at home and you don't have much else to do anyway, let's say, why not grow some food to augment the food supplies that are dwindling? This could mean the difference between life and death, no joke. Just being able to extend your food supply by 10%, that 10% of calories per day could be the difference between life and death. It can really come down to very thin margins like that. So sprout some sprouts and grow some food and start a garden and grow some herbs and grow some potatoes in a container and maybe start some backyard chickens, although this is probably not the best time to start that if you don't have experience with it. But maybe you could get some goats and have some goat milk. Maybe you could, I don't know, raise a cow or something and milk the cow. I mean, this is a time to start thinking about the old days and how did our grandparents and our great-grandparents, how did they survive? By learning food self-reliance, that's how they survived. In fact, we should have, I wish President Trump would issue a national executive order that says, front yard gardening is now legal everywhere in America so that everybody can grow food. I mean, why isn't he talking about that? Everybody grow food. Everybody take vitamin C. All we hear is, oh, let's bail out the airlines and free money for everybody and give billions to the vaccine industry. That's all we're hearing. Like, what about people growing food? What about nutrition? We don't hear, it's insane. I mean, they should seriously put me in charge of the Surgeon General. I mean, my name's already Adams, so I could just replace the existing Adams. Hey, here's your new Adams, Surgeon General. And then I would be up there as a Surgeon General saying, hey, everybody, stop eating junk food, take vitamin C and grow some broccoli sprouts. And then the media would freak out. Oh my God, it's recommending nutrition, but I would help people survive. Not that I would be willing to move to Washington, D.C. or anything anyway. But we need to give the American people good advice instead of bad advice. Good advice is what I'm giving you. Pandemic.news. That's where you hear these podcasts. Bad advice is what you're getting from the government that says it's going to save you after giving you horrible bad advice like don't have protective gear and don't store food. Remember that for the last 2 months? Don't store food. That's bad. And then we run out of food. It's insane. But keep listening at pandemic.news and naturalnews.com. This is Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Thank you for listening. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.